ones. It revolves around two questions the consumer should ask the marketer. One, if I knew what you know, would I choose to buy what you sell? And two, after I've used this and experienced it, will I be glad I believe the story, or will I feel ripped off? SUVs don't pass my test, nor do some sorts of life insurance. On the other hand, overpriced consulting may very well be an example of a good sort of story. In the long run, the good stories pay off for marketers, not just in sleeping well at night, but in building a business or an organization that truly thrives. In the long run, good stories create a virtuous cycle in which consumers benefit and profit enough to buy even more in a market that can last for the long term. The Gulf of Tonkin. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson had a marketing problem. He and his top advisors were concerned about Southeast Asia and wanted to commit more troops there, but they didn't have a story they could easily tell to the voters or to Congress. So Johnson made up a story about unprovoked attacks on U.S. ships in the Gulf of Tonkin. His administration said that the ships Maddox and C. Turner Joy had been attacked by North Vietnamese torpedo boats. On the weight of this story, Johnson persuaded Senator Fulbright of Arkansas to lead the fight for a resolution in Congress. And Fulbright got 88 out of 90 Senate votes and every single vote in the House for a resolution giving the administration the authority to use as many troops and weapons as it chose to in Vietnam. To vote against the resolution was to take the risk of being seen as wishy-washy or even unpatriotic. The two senators who voted no were not reelected. The administration told us a story, and we believed the lie. It fit the worldview of many voters in the United States, to use force when under threat or attack. Johnson framed the story beautifully. How could a senator vote against our national interests? How could he vote with the enemy? Either you're with us or you're against us, went the worldview. There are two facts that belie the strategy as a successful marketing approach, however. The first was that Johnson and McNamara and the rest of the team worked ceaselessly to hide the side effects from Congress and the American people. Rather than telling a story that we'd be glad we believed once we understood all the facts, the administration concealed the long-term and horrific side effects of their war. The second fact was that the original story was a total fabrication. There was no attack on those two ships. If you want to use a modern euphemism, it was faulty intelligence. Once the Pentagon Papers revealed how Johnson had misled us in creating the very core of the story, support for the story and the war started to fade. The story changed and our support went with it. I don't care what your politics are. If you're a talented marketer, you can see the problems here. The story a marketer uses must be a good one, a story based on some version of reality. Belief in the lie must not ultimately harm the consumer, because if it does, you'll run out of consumers and credibility far too soon. The emperor actually looked good. We all grew up with the tale of the emperor who was hoodwinked into believing that he had bought beautiful clothes from two swindlers. He was taken in by a story. If you couldn't see the clothes, you were stupid. The emperor bullied the populace into believing that only smart people could see how well-dressed he was, and of course, the villagers cooperated by reminding one another, quite loudly, how handsome the new outfits were. Only one brave child had the guts and naivete to out the emperor and reveal that he was actually naked. What's missing from the children's fairy tale is the fact that many of the villagers actually thought the emperor looked pretty good. Sure, at first the typical villager was pretty skeptical. The emperor was naked after all. But once enough people told him the story of the magical clothes, he began to believe it. As the word spread through the village, everyone began to believe. Because they wanted to believe the story. They persuaded themselves that the emperor looked good. That's why the kid who finally spoke up and said, "Hey, the emperor's naked," wasn't particularly popular. By telling the truth, he made his neighbors feel stupid and angry. Telling people that they've believed a lie for a long time is no way to make friends. If it's a good lie, a lie that led people to enjoy themselves or to be productive, then taking the lie away is actually hurtful. I hesitated to write a book about lies just because we love those lies so much. If a friend has responded beautifully to a placebo drug, is it right to tell her that she's taking nothing but sugar pills? If a person in Cuba is finding solace and meaning by attending the local Santeria religious ceremonies, is it right to point out that it's nothing but superstition? If a dieter enjoys buying diet books, about 10% of all USA Today bestsellers are on this topic, should we tell him that dieting actually leads to weight gain? In an age of tremendous scientific advances and rational thought, it's ironic that superstition and religion and vivid stories actually drive us. Ironic, but not surprising. As humans, we've been trained since birth to make quick decisions, to be superstitious, and tell ourselves the lies we learn by listening to stories. Here's the thing. 6 months before this book was published, people were already criticizing my thesis online. It doesn't sit right. It feels like cheating, not like a legitimate way to succeed. Odds are, either you or someone you know is unsettled by the idea of telling stories. We'd like to believe that efficient, useful, cost-effective products and services are the way to succeed, that hard work is its own reward. Most marketers carry around a worldview that describes themselves as innovators, not storytellers. A lot of people who buy marketing books are also people who have a worldview that says, "Tell me the truth. I don't want to hear a story." Alas, this group is small indeed. Members of this group don't want to hear my story about stories. But hey, storytelling isn't my idea. It's the idea of your customers. It's your customers who want to be told stories. It's your prospects who will walk away if you obsess about the Six Sigma of this or that without bothering to tell a story about it. So please, don't hate me. Hate them.